Romans chapter 8, and beginning at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's read together now, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Father, thank you for this new year and the opportunities that it provides. God, please help us today to start this new year off right by hearing what the Word of God has to say for us individually. God, work in our hearts today. Use our pastor, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. And then, of course, Father, if there's anybody in the room this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior from their sin, today they would settle that before they leave at the invitation. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please make sure your cell phone is turned to off or to vibrate. If it goes off in the service, you will find there is a nuclear core inside of that phone. And as it goes off, it will melt down and you'll be nuked. So help us, would you please? Just make sure it's turned to off or to vibrate. Check that, and it'll be a blessing. Now then, if you are a clock-watching Baptist, I have approximately 8.5 minutes for this sermon this morning. If we're going to get out of here at, amen, if we're going to get out of here at noon so we can all get the hometown buffet and put them out of business. However, that's not going to happen. Now, I want you to, Romans 8:28. I wonder if you could quote it by memory this morning. I know some of you wouldn't be able to. That's fine. But I know many of you can. It's one of those verses now that we have used in our lives so many different ways and at so many different times. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This year, I can assure you that you're going to look at that verse, and that verse is either going to help you, comfort you, and strengthen you, and provide you with the direction that you're going to need. These Sunday morning messages as we start the new year, especially the month of January, we're going to preach on truths that will help you through this new year. This one is one I repeat often here at this start of the year, because I know this. Romans 8:28 is not only a tremendous verse, it looks different depending on where you are when this verse comes to you in your life. Romans 8:28 looks different from a cemetery. Romans 8:28 looks different from a disaster in your life. Romans 8:28 looks different when there's a heartache or a heartbreak. Romans 8:28 looks different when you're being blessed and God's good in our lives. I find very few people ever quote Romans 8:28 in a time of blessing, but they should, because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But you're going to need this verse this year, I guarantee you that. You're going to look at it. If you know it well, I guarantee you, you'll quote it. Maybe it'll be when you leave the doctor's office and you got some news that you did not anticipate. Maybe it'll come when you go to work and they hand you a pink slip along with a paycheck. As you're driving home and start thinking about how you're going to take care of your family, you'll think, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Maybe one of your loved ones will go to heaven this year, and when they do, you'll stand at the cemetery or at the graveside or at the coffin, and you'll say, but we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's not that the verse itself is different. It's our view of the verse that makes this verse stand out to us in different ways. So we need to learn what the verse is teaching us. And that's the point of the message this morning. How to apply Romans 8:28 to every circumstance and to every condition that life will bring you this year. We know this. We know, first of all, that there's a great deal of confidence in this verse. Those first three words right there, Romans 8:28, are where the confidence comes from. And we know. That word know in the Bible means to know by experience. Not only to know completely, not only that, but to know completely by experience. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. See, you can quote Romans 8:28 with doubt in your heart. You can quote it with doubts in your mind. You can quote it with uncertainty in your life. But if you know this verse and by experience you know what it means, then you can quote it with confidence. And we know that all things work together for good. How do we know this, though? By experience. Experience of what? Experience of knowing the God of Romans 8:28. It's one thing to know the verse. It's another thing to know the God of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You see, look here now. If you know the God of Romans 8:28, there's a lot of confidence in that statement. Some people quote it because they have verses or phrases or philosophies or things that they throw out in their life. Maybe you got one of those little philosophical statement things you put on your desk at work or in your refrigerator at home and those kind of things. And you just kind of read little statements that make you feel good for a moment. There's no confidence in that. That's just about your feelings. But if you know the God of Romans 8:28 and you say, and we know that all things work together for good, it's because you found out your God, my friend, the God of Romans 8:28 made the past things work out for good. You saw Him do it. You knew He could do it. God did it. God worked it out. You saw it. You know it because you know the God of Romans 8:28. There's the confidence of Romans 8:28. You can quote the verse all day long, but if you don't know the God of Romans 8:28, there's no confidence in that. See, we know all things work together for good because we know the God who can make it all work together for good. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Christ as Savior this morning? Have you settled this thing about salvation? You see, you can't know God without knowing Christ. You have to know Christ as Savior. And knowing Christ is how we come to know God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We go to God through Christ. That's how we get there. We know all things work together for good, all things. It all comes together. The experience of knowing the God of Romans 8:28 is where we get our confidence to know everything's going to work out right. Say, but Pastor, I can't see it in the things. You don't have to. If you know the God of who can make all things work together for good, now that's totally different. You understand? And we know that all things work together for good. You're going to need Romans 8:28 this year, but you need the God of Romans 8:28 first and foremost. And there's confidence in knowing Him. He wants to know you. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. God wants to know us. He wants everything right between us and Him. So He sent Christ to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to make the payment that we owe to God for our sins. God exacted the payment and then sent His Son Jesus to make the payment for us in our place. We trust Christ. Payment is made. Salvation is given. Forgiveness is ours. The door is open. Our access to God is made because Jesus Christ died for us and we're trusting that payment. Have you done that? Have you accepted Him as Savior this morning? Do you know Christ as Savior? Because if you know the Savior, you know the God of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. You know what else you need in this verse, my friend? You need to see the completeness of this verse. Not only confidence, but completeness. Look at the statement. And we know that all things. And I did a very intensive study on that all things statement right there. Very intensive. 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew in Bible college, which I have been successfully delivered from. And here's what all things means. It means exactly what it says in your King James Bible. All things. That means everything. The good, the bad, the bitter, the sweet, what you wanted, what you didn't want, what the valleys, the mountaintops, the dark midnights, the bright mornings, all of it. Everything. All things work together for good. There's a completeness to that statement. Well, I can understand, Pastor, how this could work out for good. I can't see that over here. This over here. There's no way this thing could ever be good. There's no way any good thing could ever come out of that. That's because you're looking at it from your perspective instead of God's. That's because you've forgotten that the God of heaven is the one who makes all things work together for good. But He means all things. Every success and every failure. Every victory and every defeat. That means all things means my past, my present, my future, the good, the bad, the difficult, the sweet, the bitter, all of it. God makes all things work together for good. Now, we got to see that this morning, because if you see the God of Romans 8:28, you've got to see the completeness of what he is talking about, how he can take it all, every bit of it, every little bitty thing, every great big thing, every little moment, every great hour of our lives, everything. He makes all things work together for good. Now stay with me on this point right here, because it's important to see that when God meant all things, God meant all things. Pastor Johnson, there's some things in my past. There's no way God can make anything good out of that. Oh, really? So the God who has taken some, you ever read Hebrews chapter 11 and go down through those 13 names that are mentioned there, 16 names, excuse me, that are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. That great Hebrews hall of faith, why you got your Noah and Enoch, and you got Abraham and Sarah and Moses, all these great people of faith, and you think, oh man, well no wonder they're in there. Look at these people, they had amazing lives. Noah, who built an ark, and then after that got drunk, laid around naked in front of his children. That Noah. Abraham. We're talking Abraham, who was given a promise by God and said, yes, sir, and then turned around and did it his way instead of God's way. And we have the trouble in the Middle East 3,500 years later still going on, because the two descendants of Abraham are fighting over that piece of land over there, Israel and the Arabs. How about Moses? Killed a man one day, buried his body in the sand. You know Samson is listed in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith? Samson. The Arnold Schwarzenegger of his day, who could actually probably pronounce his own language, but who went to a harlot, who wound up in the lap of a fallen woman, lost his power and got his eyeball scooped out of his head. Who are these people? They were all people with a past. All of them with a past. God somehow or another took the all things of their life and made a life out of those people. And made a life, listen now, and made a life for those people. So all these people out there today are saying, well, I can't help it because I'm codependent, but raised in a bad home life. Yeah, you get off the wino wagon, okay? Get off that stuff. That stuff about our past. Right, listen, I'm not making light of that. I understand it. I grew up in a home like that, so I understand all that. But that's what was, not what is, and God takes all things and makes them work for good. All of them. There's a completeness to Romans 8:28. We have to see that now. If we're going to apply this verse correctly, let's see that God makes all things work together for good. Then there's the contents of that verse. Okay, there's two simple parts to Romans 8:28. God's part, my part. All things work together for good. That is God's part of Romans 8:28. Now listen carefully. Do not get on God's side of Romans 8:28. Don't try to make it all work out the way you think it should. Don't try to take all things and somehow you figure out how to make it better than God can figure out how to make it. Doesn't work. All things work together for good. That's God's part of that. The content of Romans 8:28, we have to keep it very clear in our minds. God makes all things work together for good. I cannot do that. We make mistakes. A camel is just a horse put together by a committee of people. That's what it is. We just get things messed up. And the messes of our lives come because we try to take the things and make something come out of it instead of let God do his part. Don't mess with God's part of the equation. All things work together for good. Now that's God's part. We got that? We keep that over there. We leave that alone. But I don't see how it can work. You don't have to. Do you know the God of Romans 8:28? He can make it work out because he can do that. Hey, folks, look at me. He stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. He can make something out of the things of our life. Guaranteed. The second part of the content of that verse is this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, the second part of that verse, that's mine and that's yours. My job is to love him and to live in his purpose. And God will make everything work out for good. Just do your part. Question. Is it hard to love God? Is it difficult to love him? Has he made it difficult for us to love God? Is he not a God worthy of our love? These countries and places we have been around this world, my heart breaks for these dear people and these religions. There is no other religion on this planet I know of whose deity expresses their love to their people. exacts and demands of them and from them, never one time tells them that he loves them. Or it tells them that he loves them. Never. No love, no care, no concern, no appreciation, nothing. But our God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love and he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And salvation is God's demonstration of his love. And then his word is his demonstration of his love. And his care is his demonstration of his love. Is he not worthy of us loving him in return? See, that's my part. How difficult is that part, though? It's not hard to love God. It isn't hard. Because he's too wise to make a mistake and too loving to be unkind. Yeah, Pastor Joshua, there were some things God did I didn't understand. You know, there were a lot of things you did God understood. He still loved you anyway. There are a lot of things you've done with your life you shouldn't have done, and he still loved you anyhow. God never has made a mistake. Never. We don't understand everything God does. We can trace him. We can't always trace him, but we can always trust him. Now listen to me. So my part is to love him. Then the second thing is, them who are called according to his purpose. God's purpose for my life is revealed for me in his word. This book is God's purpose. It tells me what his will and plan for my life is. I live in this book and love the one who gave it to me. And guess what he does? God does his part. God does his part. God makes all things work together for good. Ladies and gentlemen, I have stood beside people in some of the deepest tragedies and difficulties of their life. And I am blessed and amazed to watch some as they go through some of the most inexplicable disasters and troubles. Never lose their confidence and their trust in their God. And every time I've seen them do that, every time I've seen God work it out for good. On this side over here, I've also stood beside people who had nothing but heartaches and troubles at times. And they lost their love and their confidence in their God. I've been with them before when the family gathers and it's time for prayer and they refuse to bow their head because they're mad at God. And they still question and doubt what he's done. Listen to me. And I've watched those same people and nothing has worked together for good. And it won't come together. And it doesn't make sense. And there are no answers. And time doesn't make it better. It just makes you bitter. Well, then God needs to work it out so I love him. No, you need to love him and live in his purpose. And then he will work it out. He wants your part before he is. He puts it second in the verse, but he just leaves us our responsibility. But ladies and gentlemen, it should not be hard to live in the purpose God has given us. He wrote it down for us so we'd have a perfect copy of it in our hands. And he backs it with his power and his omnipotence and his mercy and his grace. The content of Romans 8:28 is two parts. God's part, my part. I do my part, leave him alone, and let God do his part. Do not limit the work of God in your life. See, Pastor Johnson, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. We won't turn to the verse this morning, but it's Psalm chapter 78 and verse 41. It says that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do because of their stubbornness and their rebellion. They would not do what he told them. And God said, well, you have tied my hands. I'd like to help you here. Just do your part, friend. You love him. And you live in his purpose. Listen now, he'll make everything work together for good. God will not fail at his part of anything. But there's one last thing we need to hear this morning concerning Romans 8 and 28. And that is this. There are constraints on this verse. Constraints, and that is this. Romans 8:28 will not work as a cover for sin or selfish living. Well, I've made a mess in my life and I don't intend to change. Let me see God make something out of that. No, you missed the point of Romans 8:28. I'm going to continue to violate the word of God and the will of God and do what I want, and I want to see God make something good come out of that. No, he won't make anything good come out of that. In that case, you don't need Romans 8:28. What you need is Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The consequence of actions, if we continue to embrace sin in our life, Romans 8:28 will not provide you cover to do wrong. And then God's going to make it all turn out okay. No, there are constraints to this verse. You can't hide behind Romans 8:28 and say, well, I don't know why he's not making everything work out okay in my life, but if you won't do right, he won't do that. Remember, you have to love him and live in his purpose. Then he makes everything work out together for good. All of it. Hey, you take a past failure and overcome it by present righteousness and watch God take that failure and make something good out of it. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, listen, if there is no hope for us today, who have had, how many of you could say today, I've never had a failure one time in my life, in any area, in my conduct, my attitude, my actions, my behavior, anything. I've never had one failure in my entire life ever. Raise your hand. Look at the people you're sitting in church with this morning. Oh, my soul. That's right. Look at me. But those who have seen those past things become good things in life are presently doing what they're supposed to do. And then God makes all things work together for good. Don't hide behind Romans 8:28 and expect it to cover sin. It won't cover sin. Also, don't expect Romans 8:28 to cover selfish living either. Well, I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to live my life my way, and I want to see God make something out of that. No, that doesn't work that way. Our daughter, Jenny, when she was learning how to cook at home, she was going to make us some fried rice one night. And you use soy sauce in fried rice. But she grabbed the vanilla by accident. And we had vanilla rice. We tasted it and we thought, there is something wrong with this rice. Can't figure out what it was. Didn't want to break her heart and say, sis, that's nasty, throw it in the trash can. But it was vanilla rice. Sound like a rapper, doesn't it? Well, she meant well. Vanilla on rice does not make fried rice. It makes vanilla rice. Yes? So I'm going to live my life my way and do the way I want, and then I'm going to claim Romans 8:28. No. No, you got to back that up. You have to understand. Then you need to apply Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Selfish living produces the product of selfish living. It doesn't turn out good. It never does. Ask Tiger Woods. How many more people do we have to see who live selfish lives? Turn out, we say, well, the guy has millions. Yeah, how good are his millions to him now? And I'm sorry for the man's failure. You understand, I'm not here to kick him when he's down. Though I haven't heard any real repentance out of the guy other than a few mousy statements on a web page of some kind. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. See, the point is not, I make a mistake, I'm forever paying for that mistake. The only reason you forever pay for a mistake is because you keep making the same mistakes. You keep sowing to what's wrong, and wrong keeps coming in. You sow to selfishness, selfish product comes in. Romans 8:28 won't cover up wrong. It won't do it. It will help us, if you have done wrong, while you're getting right, doing right, to make God take that past and fix it. You mean to tell me the God of heaven could take a boy out of a drunkard's home with no family? You see eight or nine marriages between his parents. You mean to tell me God could take somebody out of a mess like that? He was beaten by his stepfather when he come home every night drunk. He was a bartender. He'd come home and beat us every night. I can remember very seldom. If he didn't beat us, it was because we were hiding under the bed or in the closet or went out and slept in the garage for the night. You can't tell me, ladies and gentlemen, God, the God of heaven, can make something good out of that mess. First of all, he helps you to put it behind you in your life. Secondly, he'll use that to help somebody else who goes through the very same thing. And he'll also make anything I lost as a child, God has given me back through my own children and my grandchildren. The grandkids are up for Christmas time, and we left the Evans house and for our New Year's Day celebration and 42 pounds of prime rib. That's just for him and me. And as we left that night, coming to the conclusion of the feasting, I told my grandkids, my older, two older grandchildren, I said, let's take a walk. And I walked from the Evans house to our house just a few blocks. And I held their little hands in my hands. And we walked and we talked together. And my granddaughter looked up at me and she said, Gramps, thank you for taking us for a walk tonight. It was just a few minutes together with my grandchildren before they left to go home. But I treasure that. So it's too bad you didn't get it when you're a child. No, you can sit around and cry about what you didn't get, or you can rejoice in what God does do. And all things, and all things, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You let God be God, and God will make it work out right. He will. But don't hide behind Romans 8:28 and expect God to overstep that mess. You got sin in your life, time to get it right. Got selfish living, time to knock it off. And time to get in order and just love the God who loved you and saved you. And live in his purpose by following the word of God and doing what the Bible tells you to do. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm very thankful this morning that my God left me the easy part of Romans 8:28. Loving him and living for him, that's the easy part. How he can make something out of all that stuff, I have no idea. But I've seen him do it over and over and over and over again. How he makes all things work together for good. Let's stand our feet, please, today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're going to need Romans 8:28 this year, but please apply it correctly. Heads bowed, eyes closed now for a moment.